to the third case today, Ethicam versus Holder.
That's a good try.
I was going to try to just call it, huh?
May you please the court? My name is Vishwanathan Rudrakumaran. I am representing Padmakant and Sugandhan in this case. Now, first I would like to talk about the relationship between this case and the Krishna Pillai versus Holder Sri Lankan case decided by this court recently. In Krishna Pillai, this court found, in the immigration judge also found, that he was not credible. So with respect to his individual fear of persecution, that has no relevance to this instant case. Because in this case, the immigration judge found the petitioner was credible. So Krishna Pillai has no bearing with respect to his individual fear of persecution. The other issue is pattern on practice of persecution. With respect to that argument, Krishna Pillai of course has relevance, because Krishna Pillai versus Holder, this Honorable Court made a finding that there was no compelling evidence of pattern on practice of persecution. So with respect to the pattern on practice, Krishna Pillai has relevance. Then the third argument is about the failed asylum seeker, which I will talk towards the end of my summation. And first I will also would like to bring to the attention of the court, as I stated earlier, the immigration judge found him credible. The immigration judge also repeatedly stated that the credible testimony alone satisfies the burden of proof.
The war in Sri Lanka over? It's all finished, isn't it?
You know, the war, with all due respect, the war is over. The persecution still goes on. Actually, this case is in the persecution in the context of war. The war is over, but for this court, I don't think, you know, that has much to do. But suppose if the case is remanded, then of course that issue will come also before the agency. What's the current situation?
Well, the war is over, though, isn't it? Hasn't the government occupied the whole country? There isn't any more tiger section in the country?
The war is over, but even according to the UN reports, there are 12,000 individuals are still in detention. They don't know the whereabouts of those individuals. So the war, there is a distinction between persecution and war. The war is over, the persecution still continuing. But here, then, with respect to the burden of proof, the IJ made several comments stating that the credible testimony alone is enough. Then he also made a comment that if the legal test is passed, he will exercise discretion in his favor. So the question now for us, the legal issue. And I would like to emphasize the heart of this case. The heart, because he was detained or he was rounded up 15 times from 2000 to 2005, then from 2005 to 2007, 4 times a week. But then the relevant part is what happened the 2007 incident. The 2007 incident, he stated in his application and at the credible fear interview, a jeep came, 4 people got out, they showed him the ID, saying they are from the criminal investigation department, and they took him. That was, he said it in the application, he stated in the credible fear interview. But during the testimony, the judge posed a question, a two-pronged question. The judge asked him whether there was a warrant or whether you were picked up at random. There is one question, there are 2 questions there. So he said there was no warrant. And then the IJ picked up that one and said, oh, he was arrested at random. Well, the question was like that. So he was picked up from his place, and he was taken, and he was the only person who was picked up, because the neighbors saw, they came and picked him up, and they were not picked up. So he was picked up, he was taken. And then IJ argued, well, and at that time another important factor, he was no longer working for the LTT controlled area, because before that he was working for a German organization, he was working in the LTT controlled area, and the judge trying to justify it, well, they want to know what's going on in the LTT control area. Here he quit working. Even after that, they came looking for him. That clearly shows that they have a continuing interest. And in what reason the IJ said, well, that does not constitute a well-founded fear? He said, well, in 2006, you went to India, you could have simply stayed there, you came back. The main thing is, the heart, as I say, the heart of this case is what happened in 2007. So the fact that he went to India in 2006 for a training with some other groups has no bearing at all. And also then he justified saying he came back because there was a ceasefire in 2006. And he also just trying to justify that India doesn't grant asylum. The judge had misconstrued and saying there's no guarantee. But if you look at the testimony, he simply stated India does not grant asylum. India is not a signatory to the refugee protocol. But that's not the main thing is, in the heart of the case 2007, so whatever happened in 2006 has no relevance at all. And then we come to the other thing, the judge made a passing comment, but I don't know whether he really stated that as a reason. Well, he left the country with a passport. Well, then he said he left the country with a passport, but judge did not cite as a reason. His only reason to undermine, to defeat the well-founded fear of persecution, you went to India, 2006 you came back, so you did not have any fear. That was the only reason he has. So arguendo, the fact that he left the country with his own passport, whether that undermines the claim, then he testified. He said, well, the agent arranged. He asked me to go to the third counter. He gave the passport to the third counter. So everything pre-arranged, that's what he was able to leave. So the fact that he left with the passport shouldn't undermine his claim for the well-founded fear of persecution. Then the court, the IJ said, well, they want to know about what's happening. But you were picked up, and then you were released and saying, we are going to murder you. Try to save your life. That is not legitimate investigation. That is not legitimate investigation. That is persecution. That cannot be condoned. Maybe the fact that he was picked up because of legitimate investigation and for the persecution, it need not be mutually exclusive. It need not be mutually exclusive. So our argument, Your Honor, that based on that, the last incident constitutes a well-founded fear of persecution. Then the issue comes whether it has any nexus. Whether he was simply persecuted, picked up on for a legitimate investigation, or whether he was picked up because he was a Tamil or he worked there, whether it falls within the one of the protected grounds. And the IJ himself then stated in the opinion, I am going to concede, this is the IJ's thing, I am going to concede that as he testified, he may have been targeted because he is a Tamil, and because he's a young Tamil, and because he's from the northern part of Sri Lanka. The IJ said, IJ made a finding that he was picked up because of the protected ground. But then what's his justification? Well, all the Tamils are tigers, so it's okay. That's his justification. Most of the tiger members are Tamils, so that's then you have to pick up Tamils, that's why they picked him up. So then again, the nexus argument, even the Real ID Act, clearly states that the protected grounds need be one of the reasons, one of the central reasons, need not be the reason. So it can be both. It can be both for a legitimate investigation and because he's a Tamil, he worked there. So that's why our argument on the well-founded fear of persecution. And then we come to the cumulative effect. The IJ, it was pointed out in the BIA brief also by the counsel, because as I said earlier, there was roundups from 2000 to 2005, then 2005 to 2007, there were arrests. Not arrests, he was arrested, detained for 4 hours every day, 4 days a week. The IJ did not take that one into consideration. The IJ simply characterized the whole thing as roundups. So when it was pointed out to the BIA came back and said, well, that's a harmless error. But if you take the whole thing, so our argument one is the last incident itself constitutes the basis for 1200 fear of persecution. And then take the alternative argument, take the whole thing in cumulatively. The stops, the arrest, and the last incident, that also constitutes our argument is the IJ did not take into consideration that factor. Then we move to the torture convention argument. The torture convention argument, the IJ talks about them, it should be more likely than not. That's the standard. But then he said, the fact that he was arrested, stopped 15 times, doesn't mean that he would be necessarily tortured. So our argument is, more likely than not, his notion is equal with necessarily he would be tortured. Here the IJ, even though state the correct law, he applied a wrong standard in determining the torture convention claim. And then the last thing I would like to argue on is one of the failed asylum seeker. When we filed the motion to reopen, one of the arguments was made that he fears persecution because of the fact as a failed asylum seeker he will be persecuted. And we cited some European, there are some opinions, some documents which were predated, but some of the European documents, the 2008 documents, that stated that the failed asylum seekers have been halted. Their deportation have been halted.
Could I interrupt you? That opinion you referred to when you began your comments this morning, counsel, Krishna Pelli, they also addressed in finding that there was not a pattern or practice in Sri Lanka. They also considered much of that same information you've just referred to now, did they not?
Yeah. That's
in particular, the United Nations study on torture.
The asylum seekers.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what I'm trying to. I also said at the beginning that there's some relevance.
But they had considered that information.
They considered, but the thing is, in the Krishna Bula, that was defeated. That claim was defeated mainly because he was not found credible. He was here in Krishna Bula, the court said, given that IJ did not credit him as a witness.
I understand that.
That's one of the factors. And the other thing, whether the European documents, whether that provides some additional basis.
Yeah,
but the BIA did not consider it at all. BIA did not address that issue at all.
I recall there was a serious challenge to his credibility, but the fact remains that the court did consider much of that other information that the agencies had developed.
In the Krishna Bula, with respect to the failed asylum seeker, the court said there was no documents to support that.
Him.
No, there's no
his
documents.
Credibility.
No. One is credibility, they said.
I thought in determining whether there was a pattern of practice that they also considered some of the other information that has been submitted, that was submitted here below.
There's a little bit distinction. You know, the pattern and practice argument was just because you are a young Tamil from the Northeast, you are subject to pattern. You are eligible for asylum under pattern and practice. That's one argument, and the court dismiss that argument, and I think that concede that binds this case also on the pattern and practice. The other point that's relevant is Krishna Pillai is on the failed asylum seeker. He made a separate argument, leave the pattern and practice under saying as a young Tamil. As a failed asylum seeker, if he goes back, the government will come to know that you sought asylum and you will be persecuted.
I understand your argument.
So that is the court said there was no documents, first of all, the court said, for that. And secondly, they said the only thing, your own statement, and you are not a credible witness. That's what so here we're saying that there were some documents. And moreover, here he was found credible. So that's what that distinguished on that aspect also, the pattern, so the failed asylum seeker. There
so
are
you're
three
conceding there's no pattern of practice here?
I'm concerned. I'm not arguing the pattern of practice here.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, thank you. I'll come back to the rebuttal.
Thank you.
Good morning. May it please the Court, Sherry Begay on behalf of the Attorney General. The petitions for review in this case should be denied because the record evidence.
Keep your voice up.
Sure. The record evidence does not compel a reversal of the agency's determination that petitioner failed to establish eligibility for asylum and protection under the Torture Convention, and further, the Board did not abuse its discretion when it denied petitioner's untimely motion to reopen. The petitioner's asylum claim is based on the claim that
the war is over in Sri Lanka, isn't it?
Correct, it is over.
Can we take a judicial notice of that fact?
Well,
how do we deal with
it? This court
seems to me that must have some impact on this situation.
Well, this court's review is limited to the record that was before the agency, and at the time the war was still ongoing. Even though it's over now, the court only reviews what evidence the agency had before it at that time. And the petitioner claimed that he was detained numerous times over the course of a 5-year period because he was suspected of being associated with the Tamil Tigers.
Well, all this took place when there are two parts of the island. One of them is controlled by the Tigers and the other is controlled by the government, right?
Correct, yes. And petitioner was...
Now that doesn't exist anymore, right?
Well, conditions have
certainly changed. The government's got the whole island at this point.
Right, correct. And certainly conditions are different than the time when petitioner was seeking asylum. But this court is, again, the court's review is limited to the evidence that was presented at that time and whether the agency properly reviewed it and whether the evidence compels a reversal of that determination. And the evidence that petitioner presented with regard to persecution did not compel the conclusion that he established persecution. He was never harmed during his detentions, and although you know he was detained several times, he was questioned.
How about this death threat apropos of persecution?
Well, with regard to
we
the
death...
We don't
know too many details of that. What specifically was said to him? Does anybody...
He claims... You know, he simply claims that he was threatened. He was found credible, so, you know, the fact that he was threatened, however, is not enough to establish persecution here because he was never physically harmed, and this court has held that, you know, unfulfilled threats alone are usually insufficient to rise to the level of persecution. And, you know, he, in almost all his detentions, lasted for a few hours, and he hasn't shown that he was detained for any reason other than being questioned regarding his association with the Tamil Tigers. And even assuming that, you know, all his detentions and threat could rise to the level of persecution, he still has to show that at least the central reason for it was a protected ground. And the record here shows only that he, Sri Lankan authorities were interested in questioning him. And once they were satisfied with his answers and once they were certain that he didn't have any connections to the Tigers, he was permitted to leave. And I'd like to also note that his treatment in this case during these detentions was much less severe than cases where this court has not found persecution. And further, the petitioner has not established a well-founded fear of future persecution. With regard to his subjective fear, the trip that he took to India occurred in 2006, and this was after all his detentions, and he admitted in his testimony that he was scared, yet he still did return to Sri Lanka, even though all these detentions had taken place. And I understand that the threat occurred after he returned, but again, nothing happened to him, and the authorities had plenty of opportunity to do something if they wished to. But again, it was just limited to questioning, and then he was released. And with regard to systematic persecution of Tamils, this court, as aware, has addressed in the Krishnapalaya case that the civil conflict in Sri Lanka does not establish a pattern of practice of persecution of Tamils. And much of the evidence presented in this case was also presented in the Krishnapalaya case, and that was rejected. Even though certainly the court was concerned regarding the human rights violations, it didn't establish a pattern of practice. And he hasn't shown how his evidence is different than cases that than the case that this court rejected, as well as the First Circuit. And with regard to his CAT claim, he hasn't shown that he would more likely than not be tortured. He was never harmed in Sri Lanka, as I mentioned, and certainly there's no indication that he would have any problems when he returns. And even though there's evidence of torture in Sri Lanka in the country reports, he has to show that he would have a problem, that he would more likely than not be tortured. And finally, with regard to the denial of the motion to reopen, the board did not abuse discretion when it denied the untimely motion. And petitioner's motion was based on the claim that the problems with the Tamils and the fighting had increased since the end of the ceasefire agreement in January 2008. But since his motion was untimely, he had to show changed country conditions, and his evidence failed to do that. Some of his evidence related only to incidents in 2007, which is before the immigration judge's decision. And further, much of the background evidence showed that the violence had increased since 2006. So this is 2 years before the immigration judge's decision. And it didn't show how it had worsened since 2008. And because he failed to establish changed country conditions, the board did not abuse its discretion in denying his motion to reopen. If there are no further questions from the court, For the foregoing reasons, the court should deny the consolidated petitions for review and affirm the underlying decisions.
Thank you. Thank you. First of all, with respect to the fact that the war is over, this month, March 11, the U.S. State Department issued the annual human rights report. And they are still talking about disappearance of Tamils and the torture remains a serious problem. This month, 2 weeks ago, the State Department issued. And moreover, as my learned friend said, I think the court's review is limited to the record, but if the court thinks that the judicial notice should be taken, I think the case should be remanded to the agency to give both parties an opportunity to present evidence. And also, not only the U.S. State Department report, in the UNHCR, even after the war, they issue a report, they still stand by their earlier assessment saying no one should be sent back. So the persecution is still going on, Your Honor. And the other thing, it may be true the death threat does not constitute past persecution, but our primary argument that really provides a basis for a well-founded fear of future persecution. That's the main argument. The death threat provides a basis for a well-founded fear of persecution. And then 15 times he was stopped when he was working, nothing happened. Well, he gave an explanation saying that he was working for this foreign NGO, German NGO, that gave him some protection. And the last time what happened, then he testified that because their plan was spoiled, because everybody came to know that he was picked up. And had he been picked up secretly, he would have been killed. That's what his explanation, and the IJ believed him. So with respect to that also, Your Honor, I think we have a well-founded fear. And the torture convention, our main argument is the court, while stating the correct standard, they applied the wrong standard in determining whether my client. And for the past torture is one of the factors. It's not necessarily the only factor. There are other things. So the judge said he considered other factors also. The judge said he considered the country condition reports. But the things, our argument is that he applied the wrong standard in evaluating the torture convention claim. Thank you.
Thanks, counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.